So the topic today is going to be on prayer. Yes?
Our prayers made.
Our prayers made?
Yeah.
From the affections that basically come from your heart. And basically it's this, the Holy Spirit inspires you to open up and talk to God. You say yes. It's the Holy Spirit working you. Romans chapter 8. You hear this, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with us with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So God works within, if you're in this state of grace, God works within you so that these feelings within your heart, which are good, you express by talking to God. Okay, we'll see, because that's going to be part of our topic today. Okay, definition of prayer. Okay, definition of prayer. Okay, prayer is listening to God talking to God and loving God. Prayer is listening to God, talking to God, and loving God. Number two, is prayer important? What does Saint Alphonsus say about the importance of prayer? He says this, he who prays much will be saved. You praise much will be saved. He who does not pray will be damned. He who does not pray will be damned. Lastly, he who prays little, places his eternal salvation in jeopardy. He who prays little places his eternal salvation in jeopardy. He who prays well places his eternal salvation in jeopardy. So if you really learn how to pray, well, you guys are going to go to heaven. You might have to go to purgatory, but you're going to make it to heaven. If you don't pray, you're going to be lost. If you pray little, and you're walking on a very thin line, you could easily fall and lose God. So our whole life should be a pursuit to try to learn how to pray better. Okay? A desire to learn how to pray, to really pray better. That should be the desire of our life. Number three. Where can we pray? We can pray anywhere. Anywhere you go, you can pray. In the car, taking a walk, in your room, in the bathroom, on the hillside, taking a shower, anywhere you are, because wherever you go, God is present. God is present everywhere. We cannot escape from God's presence.
What if you go to hell and then you pray?
It's too late. Yeah, once you go to hell, there's no hope.
Does God even listen to you? Does God even listen to you when you're in hell?
He sees that he hears you're going to be cursing him, you're going to be hating him, you're going to be cussing, you're going to be saying bad words. You know, there's fire there. There's a devil torturing you. So God sees you. He sees your suffering, but you deserve it because you purposely rejected God by living a bad life. So we choose hell. Like right now we're trying to teach you how to pray. You could decide not to pay attention to this class and reject this class. And you know, your eternal salvation might depend upon this class right now. And when you're 70 and you didn't pray, remember when you're 13, Father Broom was trying to teach you to pray and you didn't pay attention. It's not my fault, it's your fault. Prayer sheet, that I wrote for you guys, I mean, if you really learn this, this is going to give you the very basic building blocks to pray well. It's pretty simple. We'll get this done by the time of the class, and then hopefully you'll be able to put it into practice. Because if you pray well, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Well, Jesus was on the cross. There are two thieves. One cursed Jesus. The other one talked to Jesus. And the one that talked to Jesus was saved, even though he lived a very bad life. I mean, he was a murderer. He was a thief. He was an insurrectionist, which means he started wars. I mean, this guy was a bad guy. But at the very end, you know, he talked to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, Amen, I say to you, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Well, even though he lived a very bad life, there he was talking to Jesus. At the end, Jesus forgave him. He forgave all of his sins. And he went right to heaven. So there's always hope. There's always hope.
Is it true that, like, that one homie, like, he had to legit choose from Jesus or some guy who, like, kills him, just murders people?
You mean that thief you're talking about?
Oh, no, because, like, we saw a movie, and, like, the dude was, like, he was choosing between Jesus and this other guy who was, like, a murderer. Who gets crucified or something like that?
Well, we always have to choose. We have to choose for Christ. Even the movie came out called Silence. You know, maybe you guys saw it. I didn't see it, but there was a lot of very negative things in that movie. You can't be watching any movie without asking what's going to be in it. Now, most of the movies are going to have some bad scenes. What was your question you said you asked at the beginning of the class?
Was
that you? Yeah. Okay, what was your question?
How are prayers made?
Oh, how are prayers made? Oh, I thought you were going to say how are prayers answered. Well, prayers are made. I think God answered your prayers, but not in the way you think. I'll give you a very simple story.
One time I prayed to do good on my test and I failed it.
Okay. Well,
everything happens for a reason. You probably weren't prepared for the test.
I studied though.
Okay. Maybe God is saying that you have to rely more on him, and maybe you have to get some type of tutorial on that subject. Might be that.
Might be a better saying at the grocery, more seriously. People saying the Our Father, people praying the Hail Mary. You can hear them.
Yeah.
And the more you pray to him, the more he'll
hear you. Yeah. And it could be this. I mean, aside from what you just said, is God hears us, but sometimes God says no. I mean, he hears it. Say, for example, there's a little boy who goes in the garage and sees on the shelf that there's a glass of brown liquid. He says, Dad, give me that. The father says no. The boy thinks it's chocolate milk, but it's really rat poison. So the father purposely is going to say no to the kid because the kid drinks that, he's going to die. He thinks it's chocolate milk or it's really rat poison. So you might be something asking for something you think is good, but really God sees in the long run that's going to do a lot of damage to you. So God sometimes simply says no. You pass the test what? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying something, you can be praying for something in general, you think it's really good. An example, little kid with a brown liquid in that container, he thought it was chocolate milk. But it was really rat poison, and their father knew it was rat poison. So if he were to drink that, then he would die. So sometimes we're asking for certain things that are really bad for us. And God says no, because that's going to hurt you. I'm sure all of you have the experience where you ask something from your parents and they said no, and you got really angry. And after we recognize, well, the fact that they said no was actually good. Good for me. Even though you thought when your mom or dad said no, you really got angry and you thought that maybe they didn't really understand your rights that you have. But then you look back and you think, well, the fact that the parents said no, that prevented you maybe from some future evil that you were not aware of at the time. But God always hears our prayers. But He sometimes He says no, other times He says maybe, other times He says yes, but later on, other times He says yes, but under the condition that you do something on your part. Like if you maybe commit a mortal sin, you first have to get back to God in grace, because your prayers are not going to be heard if you're in mortal sin, because you've actually become God's enemy by committing a mortal sin.
How do you know if He said yes or no?
God? Well, you ask, and what you've asked for has not become a reality. In other words, it hasn't come about as you thought. God said no. Could be that He gives you that later on, though. Or upon the condition that maybe God is asking you to do something and you're resisting it.
How do you know you're asking him something?
How do I know that you're resisting something?
How do you know he's asking me to do something?
Well, it could be maybe you have a certain attitude that God wants you to change. Maybe there's a certain attitude of pride on your part. Maybe you're proud, maybe you're egotistic, maybe you're selfish. And I'm not saying just you, I'm saying all of us. You know, if we're giving in to pride or egotism or selfishness, then God pulls back. Got that?
Yeah.
Yes?
This kind of is just a little bit of a weird question, but like, if you want to kill someone, is that a mortal sin?
Yes. Well, you have want to, and you have the intention of doing it. That is a mortal sin, even though you don't carry it out.
So, like, let's say this. Let's say my friend wanted to like kill someone, but he like, you know, he planned it all out, and then he didn't do it. So he still has to go confess that he wanted to go kill someone.
Yep. Well, I'll give you another example. Say, for example, you and your friend planned to go into a store and to steal a bike. And right when you were with your friend about to steal the bike, a policeman came in and was walking down the aisle. And he was patrolling. And you got up and said, well, have a nice evening, policeman. You walked out the back door. That would be a sin. You had the intention of stealing. So once you, if you have the intention of doing something wrong, that's already a sin. Now, if you carry it out, it's worse.
Wait, is it?
Depends on, let's say for example, killing, that's a mortal sin.
Even without carrying it out?
Yeah.
Why does it do it by accident?
No, it's not. You commit a sin by accident, no. I mean, no. Mortal sin is three conditions. Full knowledge, what, grave matter, full knowledge, full will. Grave matter means it's something serious. Full knowledge, you know it. Full will, you do it anyway.
What if, like, you're going to get, like, some, like, sugar, and you, like, purposely grab rat poison, and you, like, put it in someone's drink? Well, like, mixed it so, like, it looks the same, and you accidentally put the wrong one in there? like, is it still mortal sin?
Did he have the intention of putting that?
Probably.
Yep.
Do you still have to confess to the Father?
Of course.
Tell somebody?
The intention. Yeah, that you had the intention. You had the intention.
So if like someone, wait, okay, can you confess when you're like in jail?
Oh yeah.
You can't confess when you're in jail?
Yeah, I've gone to prisons confessing people. Yeah, sometimes those people are the people that are most sorry after their sins. You have prison chaplains. You've got priests that go and say mass, and they hear sins of the hear the confessions of the prisoners.
So, like, if you kill someone, and like, you know, you're on your way to death row, but the priest comes in and you're like forgive for it, pretty much.
If he goes to confession?
Oh, yeah.
Before he's on death row, before he's killed, would he be forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happened to the good thief? He was a murderer, right? He was a thief, right?
And then he talked to God.
And he was forgiven.
Okay.
Got it? Good? Yeah.
If they confess that they kill someone, do you tell the police?
I can't.
So do you bring these
up? If I do, then I'm out of the priesthood. I'm out of the priesthood. I can no longer exercise my priesthood. Because if I break the seal of the confession, none of you guys are going to want to go to confession. If everything you told me I was able to tell publicly, you guys would be, wouldn't you be so embarrassed you'd never go to confession, probably. I wouldn't, no. It has to be top secret. And they were actually, I think I told you the story about the priest that was killed because of the king. You heard that story, right?
Mm-hmm.
He preferred to be thrown over the bridge and would drown rather than to reveal the sins of the king, rather the queen. Yeah.
Don't you get stressed out with all those memories when they tell you?
Basically, it's a good question. Basically, you forget them. That allows you just to take it away. It's hard work. But think about how you feel after you've made a good confession. I go to confession. I went to confession an hour ago. I go to confession. I go every 2 weeks, no? Priest in Dominguez Hill is the old priest there, those guys that are a lot of experience. You know, everyone, even the Pope has to go to confession. We all make mistakes, right? Only God is perfect. And I know you guys, maybe you're afraid to go to confession, but once you go, you feel much better. I have a radio program. I just got back from the radio, and I was talking about confession. So a lot of people are listening. Father Boom was talking about different biblical passages that were to refer to confession. I gave them the origin, John 20, 21 to 22. Jesus breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. So there's a biblical origin of it. And he spoke to them about what does confession do. And he spoke to Father Damien, who was a priest that worked in Molokai among the lepers. You know, the lepers, those guys are dying that skin disease. He actually went there and he spent about 10 or 11 years. And he ended up by becoming a leper himself. And his biggest suffering, Father Damien, on the island of Molokai, which is an island of one of the many islands of Hawaii, where they would ship off the lepers there so they would be away from the rest of the people and they would die basically alone. So he went there to build houses for them, to build a church for them, to say mass for them, hear their confessions. He would actually embrace them because you're really not supposed to touch a leper, because if you touch a leper, then you're going to get leprosy. And eventually he got it. But his biggest suffering was that he couldn't go to confession. So he was the only priest on the island. So now and then there would be like a bishop or priest that would come in a ship nearby. He'd get on his little rowboat and row out to the big ship, and he'd yell out his sins to the priest that was on the ship. The other people would be able to hear his sins because he couldn't get up on the boat for fear that he might contaminate the people on the boat. Then eventually died of leprosy himself. Really good movie, might even get, it's called Molokai. A great DVD on the life of Father Damien. Probably seen Father Damien, right?
Can, let's put it for example, if there's a kid that goes up to you to confess something that he hasn't done but is going to do, let's say he has, kill someone tomorrow, can you still forgive him if he hasn't done it yet?
No, because he's not sorry. I'd have to try to convince him not to do it. Yeah, if that was his intention, that'd be a bad confession. I'd have to say, look, you're here to confess your sin, not to tell me you're going to commit sins. So that would be the exact opposite of making a good confession. That'd be a bad confession. Danny?
Has anyone told you that you killed
someone? I really can't tell you. What? No, but still, I won't tell you anyway. What do you think? It could be. I mean, if we're, it could be. Maybe yes, maybe no. If you're a priest for 30 years, I mean, you've heard a lot. You're hearing confession 2 to 3 hours every day. Obviously, you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff. But the beauty is that people are sorry and they come in with their sins and they leave and they feel a lot of peace. Have you ever gone to confession, any of you guys? How do you feel afterward?
Fantastic.
You feel great. You feel peace, right? You feel joy in your heart. You feel like a light. You feel lighter. Maybe a load is taken off your shoulders. Yeah? You feel like a new person.
How much sense do you hear for you?
Well, if it's 3 hours a day, so that's maybe 3 times 7, 21 a week. How many weeks in a year?
52.
52 times 21, whatever that is.
A lot. Did you say a lot?
It's a lot. It's quite a bit. One of the best things might be is that probably right here in this room, there are some of you that are maybe called to become priests. There are probably at least a couple of you. You probably heard the call, but often hear the call and you don't want to listen. You're afraid to respond and say yes. But if God is calling you, you should say yes. And he'll help you. He'll help you to get through the seminary and he'll help you to become a good priest. If you are called to become a priest, if you don't say yes, you're really never going to be happy in life. God called you to do that. Right? I mean, you'll be saved, but you were called to become a priest. God gave you all the grace to do it. You should say yes.
But doesn't he give you choice to do anything?
Yes. So. Yeah, but say for example, every time you pray, you hear interior voice, I really feel I want you to become a priest, and you keep pushing it away. Eventually, God's not going to, he's going to be talking to you again because you kept pushing it away. But if you heard it, hey, you have to say yes.
So this kind of a question. Do you think someone, a priest in their lifetime, has told the police about someone's sins?
And no. He shouldn't. Otherwise, as I said earlier, it's called the seal of confession. It's if we reveal the sins of others, then we're excommunicated, which means that we're out of the church.
Do you think someone has those? Or do you
priests have?
Or
I think so. But it's sad to say. There probably are some priests maybe under pressure or fear. Maybe someone pressured them into doing it, and for fear of maybe losing their life, they gave in, but they shouldn't. You should do is accept, even if they die like a martyr, like that priest that I told you the priest decided to die rather than to reveal the sins of the queen. There you go. What?
If a kid has a really good confession one day and the next day he kills himself, would he go to hell?
Good question about suicide. Remember the three conditions? grave matter, full knowledge, full will?
Yeah.
You have to think, would that person have free will? I mean, would he be have full knowledge? Often, those who do commit suicide are confused. Some take medicine for depression. They might not have great clarity of thought. But if they purposely committed sin by committing suicide, full knowledge and full will, yeah, that person would be lost.
What happens if you're a rich priest?
If a what?
What happens if you're a rich priest? Can you be...
A rich priest.
Can you be even happier than a priest?
No, it's a good question. Good question, yeah. I'm a religious priest, which means I have vows of poverty. You know what that means? Poverty means that whatever is given to me, I have to give to my superior, and then he's going to have to use that money to help out the poor, to pay for the hosts. Right now there was something wrong at the entrance to a rectory, and there are these construction guys that are working on the tiles of our rectory the whole day, so we better pay them. We have to eat, so we have to, someone has to cook for us. But the money that's given to me, I don't put it in my pocket, but I give it to my superior. So yesterday, someone gave me $1,000 bills. Okay, take this. No, it's $1,000. It's a lot, right? So I gave it to Father Larry, and he, a short time ago, I mean, he was talking about this very poor family. Husband had a brain aneurysm and now is in the hospital, and there's a lot of hospital bills. We said, you know, how about if we use that to help out this man and his wife who's got three kids? Yeah. So the money we have, we use it to help out the poor. Yeah, well, you know, people give us money, and then if the money is given, okay. For example, I think you and your husband have worked on the poor program. Every Tuesday they give 40, 50, 60 bags of food to people that are really struggling. And then during Christmas break, we go in to visit maybe 200 homes, and 300 homes, we give a bag of food, we give toys. So the church tries to do is try to help out as many people as possible. And this lady today gave me a bag of candy, well, power bars and some crackers and some water. And there's a lady on the 605 ramp. You ever notice some people on the ramp when you're getting off your car? So I gave a bag of food to that lady about a half an hour ago. And she said, well, thank you, God bless you. So someone gave that food to me. And I give it to the poor. Because that lady may not have a refrigerator, but we have a refrigerator. She might have a refrigerator, but there's no food in it, but we have a refrigerator and the food is in it. So Father Craig will go down to Tecate, which is Tijuana. Now look in my closet to see someone maybe gave me something for Christmas, extra pair of pants or maybe some shoes. No, well, I got extra pair of pants. Give it to Father Craig, and he'll give it to someone Tecate that maybe has a pair of pants that's old and has a lot of holes in it, and he has to have a new pair of pants. We have to learn how to give. And you have to learn how to do that too. Maybe look at your wardrobe, and maybe you have too many things. See if you can maybe give them to the poor. Well, I bet you probably have 3 or 4 pants. You probably have more than one pair of shoes, right? Probably have maybe got 2 jackets or 3 jackets. Why don't you give one away? The people are, you know, dying of hunger, and they're shivering because of the cold. And here we have 2, 3, 4, 5 jackets. And we want our mother or father to buy us the best brand, the most modern, elegant jacket on the market. And then you have people dying of hunger, don't even have one jacket. You should feel bad. That should make you feel bad. Well, I mean, you should feel bad that people are dying of hunger and dying of cold, and we have so much. We have too much. Very rarely do you go to bed hungry. Millions of children tonight are going to go to bed without any dinner. India, China, Japan, Mexico, Africa, millions. And there are children today that they're going to die of hunger today. And one of our problems is we want to lose weight because we eat too much. Yeah, we've got too much, and many people have too little. So why is it that the rich get more and more and the poor get less and less? It's because there's a lack of proper distribution of the wealth. If people would share what they have, there would be no hungry people. There are multimillionaires, there are billionaires, they could use their money to help out the poor. If I were a multimillionaire, I'd see how many poor people I could have. Now, if I'm a millionaire, I'd want to set up a factory, fabrica, in L.A., a huge one, and I'd try to get as many people working as possible because there's a lot of unemployment. You probably know that, right? So all these people that don't have work, okay, give them a simple job so they can earn enough money, you know, to pay the rent and help out their family. Obviously, I'm not a multimillionaire and I can't do it, but that's what I would do if I were. But I'm never going to be the multimillionaire. I'm called to be a priest. No? Yes?
So do you think, like, you know, rich people, instead of spoiling themselves, they should help out others?
Yes, like, I think they should. What do you think?
I don't know, because, like, they're like, working hard for their money. But, like, then again, the poor people, if they go to apply for a job, they're probably going to get kicked out.
I think it depends. I mean, they might get a job, they might have to work hard. And you know what the American dream is? You know what that is? The American dream is that you start from the bottom and you really work hard, you can start to ascend. And you can make, you have to start from the bottom, but you have to work hard. And you can start to ascend and make more and more so that you're able to pay your bills and maybe go beyond that. A lot of them, I mean, only God knows their history. Probably a lot of them had a problem with drugs, probably with drinking, broken relationships, dysfunctional families. Isn't that a dysfunctional families? Yeah,
like when someone's disabled and they pay too much money. So
what?
When they pay too much money for a disabled person so they can't, like, take care of themselves.
Well, if you have a disabled person, obviously.
Because what if they have cancer and they don't have a medical or like a health care plan?
The problem here in California is, do you know what euthanasia is? Do you know what euthanasia is? You never heard the word euthanasia? No, I'm sure you heard of this. It's very important. Euthanasia in California has been legalized. That means if you have a grandmother that has dialysis, failure of the kidneys, she's got Alzheimer's, you know what that is?
Yeah, I know.
and Parkinson's, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, then these people can have recourse to euthanasia, in which they can decide to kill themselves. Okay, or they can tell their relatives to give them a shot or take some type of drink. So that's legalized in about 4 or 5 states in the United States. It's not federal. I mean, some states do not agree with it. But California, about a year ago, legalized that. So say, for example, you got a grandmother, grandfather, that has serious health problems, and he says, I don't want to live with my kidney failure. I prefer just to get a shot in my life so I don't have to go through all this suffering. That's legal in California.
Is that a sin?
Yeah.
So
because you're making a choice for that.
You got two different things here. You got abortion on one part of the spectrum, then they get euthanasia on the other part of the spectrum. So abortion would be the unborn baby. Euthanasia would be the grandfather that has serious health problems. Well, then you have to try to use all the medicine possible. You can live as long as you can. When you can no longer live and die, then you have to die. In other words, who gives life?
God.
Who takes life away?
God.
So only God has the right to give life. Only God has the right to take life away.
You shouldn't take
things. Right. This person decides, I'm going to take my life away. And it could be, okay, say for example, God wants you to live 80 years old. But from 79 to 80, you get Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And you purposely say, God, I accept that, even though there's a lot of suffering, I accept that as my purgatory. Might happen, as soon as you die, you go right to heaven because you accepted that last year of suffering. Not ouch. You know, do you know what purgatory is?
Heaven is ouch.
Purgatory, that's not a joke. Purgatory is fire.
Isn't it like a...
Purgatory is fire, that's...
Shower of rain?
No.
A shower of fire.
Fire. Yeah, so better than you accept your last year of life and your suffering than to have to go to purgatory. So look at it that way. Now, what do you think is more painful? Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or spending a year in a fire burning?
I wouldn't be able to...
Huh?
No.
It's not a joke. A year in the fire burning is much more painful than, you know, maybe your hand is shaking and your memory is failing. Okay, there's pain in that, but much less. But you have to accept it with a lot of love and resignation and conformity to God's will. If you complain about it and you say, God, why'd I have this? I don't want it. Give me a shot. End my life. I can't put up with this. And you're wasting all of your suffering. You know, the Catholic Church, the Catholic religion is the only one that gives positive value to suffering. The only religion. You know, study the other religions, the other world religions. Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism. Islamism, they don't explain suffering, but you unite your suffering to the cross of Jesus Christ. That is infinite value.
I don't like to study other religions because, like, in history, geography, we're learning about Buddhism, and I kind of wanted to be a Buddhist for a little, but then I was like, no.
No, if you don't really know your religion well, I mean, you might have to study in school, but just, you know, you have to read through it. But you have to cling to your Catholic faith. You probably know that most Jehovah's Witnesses used to be Catholics. Or Mormons. They used to be Catholics, but they never really learned their Catholic faith. So ignorance of our religion is one of the primary causes why a lot of people leave the Catholic faith. I think all of you have some relative or friend that is no longer Catholic, has become a born-again Christian, or maybe an atheist, or maybe... a Mormon or maybe Jehovah's Witness, And the reason is because they never learned their faith. They never learned their faith in the first place.
There's so many religions. How do you know which one's the right one? Like say, for example, like another religion might think that theirs is right. So, like.
Well, yeah, like, you were born into what type of family? Your parent is your mother Catholic?
Yeah.
Your father Catholic too? Kind of. Well, he was probably baptized Catholic, right? Well, at least your mother's Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank God for that. So you were brought up and raised as Catholic. That's the religion that God has given to you.
So what about if other people are born into another religion?
Yeah. Okay. Are you asking can they be saved?
No, I'm asking like, wouldn't that be like their religion? So wouldn't they be following like those specific guidelines?
They might. They might believe that is the proper religion, and if they follow it and they try to be faithful to their conscience, they can still be saved. However, if within their conscience they believe that they really have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and enter the Catholic faith, they reject that inner voice, and they're responsible for rejecting God. Well, I mean, could you pray to God and say, Lord, I'm suffering so much, please take my life? That's okay. But let God take your life. You understand? Lord, I'm suffering a lot. This is really painful. Please take my life. Then if he takes it, fine. But you don't want to be doing anything. For example, have you ever heard of morphine? You know, morphine is what doctors and nurses will give people that are suffering a lot. If you take too much, that's this.
Oh, isn't that what Michael Jackson took and then he was just like a GG? Oh, yeah, that is what he took.
Yeah.
He took it and then he just, you know, he took a dirt nap. They just didn't wake up.
Yeah, so that's the problem. If you purposely, it's like an overdose, an OD. An overdose of drug, you know, it's suicide. You're taking your own life. We're pointing out, he said, God gives you life, and one of the greatest witnesses of someone who suffered with dignity, let's see, were you guys born in 2005 around?
2003.
Okay, well, you were born then when you had one of the greatest popes. Maybe you heard of John Paul II, any of you?
No. I've heard of Paul
I. Any of you ever hear of John Paul II? You guys were born, he died in 2005. He was Pope for 27 years. Yes. He's about the third longest in popes in 2,000 years.
When did he start?
John Paul II was elected in 1978. He was born in 1920, so he started when he was 58. And he died 2005. And when he was basically young as a pope, he was blessing the children there at the Vatican. The guy pulled out a gun and shot him. And the bullet went into his stomach. They rushed him to the hospital, and it looked like he was going to die. And all the people were praying. This is May 13th, 1981. And he was saved. That same year, December 24th, he was in jail visiting the guy that tried to kill him, and he forgave the guy. So that was one of the most brilliant examples of mercy in the history of the church. The guy that tried to kill him, he was there in the prison, actually bending over. He was forgiving the guy that tried to kill him. And then the following year, this happened May 13th, 1981. May 13th, 1982, he traveled to Fatima, Portugal, where there's a statue of a Lady Fatima, like the white statue we have in the big church with the crown. And he kneeled down and he prayed the rosary, and then he got up and he put something very special in the crown of the Blessed Mother. And it was the bullet that was in his stomach that he put in the crown of the Blessed Mother. So if you go to Portugal, you can see the bullet that was in his stomach, still there. No one will ever take it because it's behind.
Oh, okay.
It's behind like a special glass.
But
Well, there was a Turkish terrorist that shot a really, and the bullet isn't, it's not a BB, it's a big bullet. And it was a miracle that he didn't die. And he said it was the Blessed Mother that saved him. It was on May 13th, 1981.
Wait, so like, if ISIS just goes in there full of Rush B with a P90, and they take it, is that like a bad thing?
Take what, the statue?
The gun, or both of them, and they're just like, hey man, we're about to shoot the bullet, and like...
Try to ask intelligent questions.
I'll ask a good one this time. Wait, this is actually not a question, this is a comment. But like, about like the poor people thing. My uncle, he doesn't have his, like, his high school diploma, like this thing for high school, because he dropped out in ninth grade. Because of like gangs and stuff, because he was here in Hawaiian Gardens, and now he has a job where he makes $7,000 a week without a high school diploma.
What job is that?
Hey man, it's not drug dealing. That's all I know.
Well, you know that happens. You know, because he's probably a very hard worker. He's now responsible. He changed his life. Experience shows. I like your point, your story, is that people that are successful are not always the most intelligent, but the hardest workers.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay?
He wasn't. He maybe was maybe not a genius, but a very hard worker. He was well organized. No, and your uncle is probably a really hard worker. He's well organized now. He's not wasting what he has. He may be investing the money he makes in the bank so that money creates more money in the bank because of interest, right?
I hope so. I mean, he has like 5 kids, so he kind of had like a reason to work.
Is he, are his kids Catholics?
I think so. He's Catholic. I don't know if
he's
Catholic,
though. I hope so.
Well, that's probably good. Well, maybe with those kids, he can actually educate them well with that money, send them to a Catholic school, so they can really become good Catholics. Where does he live?
In Arizona.
Okay. Well, okay, maybe let's pray that he'll use his money well. Okay?
Yeah.
Pray that he'll become a very good citizen, a good Catholic, he'll raise his kids well, and maybe his kids will be very noble individuals, and very good Catholics, and get to heaven.
How does God take your life?
How does God what?
Take your life.
You got, yeah. God knows the day, the time, the manner that you die. But we should prepare ourselves because it's the most important moment in our life is the day we die. When you die, if you die in the state of grace, you're saved. You go to heaven for all eternity. But if you die in mortal sin, you lose your soul.
What if you went to like a palm reader or a psychic? And they told you something was going to happen on a certain day, and that thing actually did happen.
No, you should not go to a palm reader. That's wrong.
But like, what if it did happen, though?
Then well,
they guessed, but you shouldn't go to that. A lot of people go to them.
I mean, I didn't go, but I was just asking.
You know, you went there.
Okay.
Let's
do a few. Let's go back to our sheet. Let's do a couple anyway. Good questions, though. At the end, okay? Okay, number four is, when can we pray? Anytime. Anytime. The greatest prayer we can offer to God is Holy Mass. Holy Mass. What is the prayer that Jesus taught us? The Our Father. The Our Father. Next. Prayer expresses the sentiments or feelings of the human heart. What acronym or word game and help us remember the basic sentiments used in prayer. Okay, it's an acronym, four letters, and it's spelled ACTS. And each one of these words express a different sentiment that should come from our heart. Okay, A. Okay, after A, you're going to be writing, okay, A, adoration. Adoration.
Is that one T or two
T? One T.
No, I'm in D.
Oh, one D. And put next to adoration, praise God. Okay, C is contrition. Contrition. Next, tell God you're sorry. Contrition, tell God you're sorry. Okay. T, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And last is supplication. That is two P's. Supplication. But next to that, ask God for gifts. Ask God for gifts. Number 8. What is the prayer that makes the Immaculate Heart of Mary rejoice? Okay, we've got two answers here. The Hail Mary and the Holy Rosary. The Hail Mary and the Holy Rosary. Okay, explain the origin of the Hail Mary. Like the letter A, Hail Mary, full of grace. Next to that, Mary never sinned. B, blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb. Place. Mary is the most holy woman that ever lived. Holy Mary, Mother of God, place also, Mary is also my spiritual mother. Mary is also my spiritual mother. Okay, then, in the glory be to the Father, who do we honor? Okay, we honor the Blessed Trinity. We honor the Blessed Trinity. Number 11, explain the meaning of the sign of the cross. Okay, we profess, profess our belief in the Trinity. We profess our belief in the Trinity. And Jesus is suffering for us because he died on the cross. And Jesus is suffering for us. I turn the page. Obstacles in prayer. Well, the obstacles in prayer, number one is our laziness. We're lazy at times. Our laziness. Two is we believe prayer doesn't do anything. Prayer doesn't do anything. Three, excessive use of electronic devices. You know what that is, right? TV, cell phone. I'm saying excess. So you use it too much, you don't have time for prayer. Okay, next would be a bad conscience. Four is bad conscience. The conscience is, you have a bad conscience, so you don't want to pray. Yeah, and five is procrastinating. You know what that means? Yeah. What does it mean to procrastinate?
Not
Okay, wait till the last minute or put it off, okay? Say, I'll do it later. Okay, three. Helps or aids to prayer. Okay, number one, use the Bible. Use the Bible. Use the Bible to pray well. Next is have visual images. Have visual images. Like the crucifix, a picture of Jesus or Mary, divine mercy. You have some of those in your house? Three is saying short prayers. Like, Jesus, I love you. Lord, help me. Mary, pray for me. Short prayers like that. Very pleasing to God. Short prayers. Number four would be the Psalms. Okay, the Psalms. Ever heard of the Psalms? Okay, the Psalms. It's part of the Bible. That's the prayer book of the Bible. Mostly composed by King David. Okay, next would be visit the Blessed Sacrament. Where was the Blessed Sacrament here in this area? Do you know where it is, the Blessed Sacrament is?
The church.
Nope. Where is it? Okay, it's there in the altar in the big church. Yep, it's called the monstrance. Okay, so there in the new church on the altar, you have the monstrance, Jesus present there. You make a short visit and talk to him using your own words. Okay, and then family prayers, just write this. Family prayers would be the rosary, next would be meal blessing. Before you eat, bless your meal with a short prayer. Good. And three would be night prayers. Say some prayers before you go to bed. Okay, meditate. Steps to meditate. One, imagine God is looking at you. Imagine God is looking at you. Two, read the gospel. Read the gospel. Three, talk to God. Talk to God in your own words. Next, make a good resolution. Resolution means a good proposal, resolution to do something for God. Then carry out your good resolution. You know, that's five. Yeah, carry out your good resolution. Offer something to God, make sure you do it. Well, not just with your lips. Okay, Bible verses, these are short Bible verses. This one is for today in the message. Ask and you shall receive. Okay? Ask and you shall receive. Two. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Number three, come to me all you are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me all of you weary, and I will give you rest. Let me just say, you have a lot of good questions, really. Okay, wait, time for one more, then you have to do the roll call. Okay, one more, very good questions, and we'll pick it up next week. You have...
Okay, so remember we're talking about, like, the guys who... you know, how God knows what's happening in their life, like you already planned it out. What if, like, someone gets Alzheimer's and they forget about God?
Okay, then they would not be responsible, fully responsible for what they're doing, because there are people that have that, no?
Yeah.
Let's say Hail Mary, and then we'll continue next week. Okay? Let's say Hail Mary and pray that we'll all pray well to get to heaven, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Together? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.